listening to the Bay Christian Family Church podcast.
Praise God. As you're seated, open your Bible once again, Matthew chapter 6, and then to Proverbs 3, verse 33. Everybody ready? Read. How many of you were here this morning? Now, if you were not able to make it this morning, once again, let me strongly encourage you. Make it a point. As we've been talking about first fruits, we want to deposit the first day as a day of the Lord. And so much is imparted in all the messages. That's why we have two different messages. Tonight is going to be building on this morning. But you want to have the ingredients to be able to receive what I'm imparting tonight. And so we covered a lot of very important things talking about the firsts. And this morning we spoke about our first actions. First actions determine your future. It's so important. You've probably heard me say it before. If you're ever sitting in front of a doctor and for some reason, or in front of a lawyer or a bank manager or whatever, maybe you receive a letter that's got certain bad news in it. When you read it, the first response may be the flesh. It may be fear. It may be a really bad report. But what comes out your mouth next is critical. That first action is critical. Family, I cannot stress it enough. It's so important to know this. Remember Jairus? His daughter was sick, and he went to Jesus and said, "You please come heal my daughter." And Jesus said, "Well, let's go." And while they're walking, this woman with an issue of blood interrupted and got in the way. Can you imagine Jairus? "Hey, listen, I know you've had a problem, and now you want to tell." Jesus stops and he says, "Who touched me?" And they, "What do you mean, who touched you?" And he says, "No, power flowed." And he has this woman with an issue of blood. And the Bible says, for many, many years, she's seen doctors and physicians. How could they write that? Because I guarantee you, Jesus said, "What happened?" And yes, she goes, "In 1963, and Jairus is standing like, "Really, we're going to go there?" And then I saw this doctor, and this doctor said, no. And then that didn't work. And so then I went to this herbalist, and that herbalist, and then my friend, I got to say, this other person, yeah, and you know, and I just see Jairus going, I mean, have you, you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been in situations where you say, "God, now would be nice," and then they come to him and say, "Your daughter is dead. Don't worry the master anymore." And what does Jesus do? He turns to him and says, "Don't fear. Do not fear." What's he doing? He's stopping. What comes out your mouth next is critical. Did I say I'm coming to heal her? Don't worry about what they're saying. You got to keep your mouth right. You got to make sure that your next action is one of faith. Those first moves are critical. Remember Elisha? When he wanted to bless that woman, and he said, "What can we do for her?" And then Gehazi said, "Well, she doesn't have a child." He calls her in by the Spirit of God, says, "This time next year, you'll have a child. Don't lie to me, man of God. No, listen to what I'm saying." And the child is born, and then a little while later, he has a stroke or something, and he dies. Mom's got him in the room, and he dies in her arms. Now, I thank God we've never experienced it, but they tell me that's one of the most heaviest things is for a parent to bury a child. You always think it's the other way around, but that's a tragic thing to happen. And for a mother to see a child breathe its last breath in her arms, and she comes out that room, and her husband's waiting outside, and she says, "I'm going to church." Now, that's my interpretation in today's vernacular. "I'm going to the man of God." And he says, "Why would you do that?" She says, "It is well." So he didn't even pick up. How you know something? If you love someone, you can tell that something serious just happened. No, fine, just lead the boy. I'm going to see the man of God. And all along the way, it is well. It is well. It is well. Elisha sees her coming from a distance, sends Gehazi, go find out what she's coming for. And he arrives and says, what are you coming to the man of God for? She says, it is well. Get out my way. Now that's my interpretation. It's like mama's on a mission. Yes. And then she gets before and she gets right up in the face of that man. Now you told me I would have a son. That boy's lying back on the bed there. Now what are we going to do about it? See, it was all, she never gave in. See, family of God, we got to understand this. Our actions that we set in motion our future. Those first things are critical. Why do you think God keeps talking about first this, first this, first this? Because that first is what initiates the momentum towards where you're going. So you want to make sure you're choosing God's firsts to see God results. Say that I choose God's firsts to have God results. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. And you know the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that when you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things and overflow. Abundance for what purpose? Every good work. How many of you would like to be in a place where your house is paid off, car's paid for, tank's full of petrol, school fees are paid, clothing's done, grocery cupboard's full, and then you got all this money and you don't know what to do with it? How many wouldn't mind? Is there somebody I can bless? Is there someone I can buy a car for? Is there someone I can pay the rent? Is there someone I can help send to school? Is there someone I can support in Bible college? Is there someone, can I be a part of planting that church? Come on, how many would like to be in that place? It's not like I'd like to, but you know, I've got all these. No, God evidently wants us in a place where we can be a blessing. But you notice there's a first. It's not like after we've paid the bills, after we've paid all of this, and then we see, can we send somebody? Can we do something? He says, if you honor God first. So we're talking about this honor. We want to honor God. And we had a look and we saw that as we've seen the scriptures, I had a look at a whole bunch of scriptures. I'm not going to read them all now for time's sake. But we saw how God constantly shows from the Word, if you, then I. If you, then I. You first, then me. You make the move. So in other words, there's an understanding out there that God is sovereign. Whatever He wants to do, He will do. Now that, in a sense, is true. God's ultimate plan will come to pass. But He has chosen to work through obedient people. That's His choice of operation. So if one person doesn't obey, He will find another to use. He will work with somebody. But He does require us to move first. So it means that if I want to see something happening in my life, I'm going to have to respond. Even though God's sovereign, His plan will still come to pass. Jesus is coming back. When He was sent to come down on the cross, that plan still came to pass. But I want to be part of that plan. How many say amen? So if I'm going to be part of the plan, then I must be part of doing what He says to do. And if you weren't here, these were the scriptures, 2 Chronicles 7:14, Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13, Psalm 14, verse 2, Psalm 34, verse 10. And if you didn't write it quick enough, you can get the recording. But you'll notice all of these that if you seek the Lord, you'll lack nothing. If you seek the Lord, you will find me. You come first, and then you will see me move. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who, there's the key, that diligently seeking. I wish God would move in my life like he moves in that person. Well, do what they're doing. Because they, if you see God moving in someone's life, it's not just because they're lucky and they woke up one day. There's no such thing as luck in the kingdom of God. Get that out of your vocabulary. Oh, you're so lucky. I was so lucky. No. There's no luck. There's seed time and harvest. You think a farmer wakes up one morning and there's a whole field full of wheat and he goes, wow, I'm lucky, eh? Yesterday I went to bed, I had a field, and today I got wheat. That's not going to happen. He has to put seed in the ground. He has to farm that ground. And so the same way, if you see someone walking a blessed life, you know they put principles into motion. Remember James 4, verse 7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, there's your first move, and he will draw near to you. Amen. And so, Malachi 3, this is what we were talking about. I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you're not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Verse 6, verse 7, yet from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from my ordinances. You've not kept them. Return to me. There's your first move. And I will return to you. God sees when trouble. He gives you what the issue is. But notice he says, I'm ready to fix it. I'm ready to move in your life. But you need to make the first move. And so the response is, okay, Lord, then in what way? And his response is not, you need to pray more, you need to sing more, you need to spend, are you with me? He says, will a man rob God, yet you've robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You cursed with a curse because you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Now bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I'll not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, there'll not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Why doesn't God just go ahead and do that if he loves you so much? No, there has to be our first move. And he says, when you do this, I will make sure that your vine will not fail to bear fruit, that's your income producer, that he won't destroy the fruit of your ground, that is your income. And then he says, all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land. How do you want to see that blessing in operation in your life? But you notice God goes straight to, return to me, and it's usually the thing that we least want to hear about. He talks about the tithe and offering. Now, this morning, I exposed why that is so important. Why is it that God would say that? Because we tend to think that, you know, the church shouldn't talk about money. All they do is talk about money. If somebody says that, that tells me their heart's not in the right place. Because even though it may sound like I'm talking about it, that's what God's doing. He wasn't dealing. How do you know God doesn't need the tithe? He owns everything. I said he owns everything. He doesn't need an offering. He said, if I needed anything, would I come to you and ask you for it? He says, if I'm hungry, would I ask you for food? You know, God's not even going to be hungry. He needs nothing. So what's it about? It has nothing even to do with the finances. It has everything to do with the heart. It's a heart issue. Say it's a heart issue. That's why the moment people start questioning, is the tithe the Old Testament? Is the tithe, do Christians tithe that? That tells me their heart's already in the wrong place. Because what are you doing? You're trying to negotiate your way out of giving? Because when it comes to God, technically everything is his. If God says, I want you to empty your life, I should be able to do that. Isn't that right? I'm so glad we got nice, big, loud amens. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 8, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. See, it's easy to say I love Jesus, but is your heart in it? Yes, amen, my heart's in it. Well, we had a look at that. We said, well, how do we determine if our heart is for God or not? And we have to challenge ourselves with these things because Jesus gave us the measuring stick. This was his opinion. Say, this is Jesus' opinion. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. Now, let me just say this here. He's not saying don't invest, because you have to counter this with the parable where he spoke to the one, he gave one 5 talents, the one 3 talents, and the one talent. Remember that? Or 2 and 1, 5, 2 and 1. He gave each one 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. And then they went out and they traded. And then he came back and he called for an account. And the one with 5 had produced 5 more. He said, well done, good and? So it's not about storing, because there was the other one where the man said, I'm going to build barns and I'm going to take all my harvest and I'm going to store it away. That, he said, that your soul will be held accountable for that. But the one who had just 1 and he hid it, didn't do anything with it, then Jesus said, you wicked and lazy servant. So God gives us finances to work with, not for storing. What we mean by storing is put it away in fear. I've got to keep a nest egg. You know, I've got to keep just in case. No, no. You're going to invest. You're going to work. You're going to make it increase and multiply. But the purpose is for kingdom purposes, kingdom reasons. So here's what he's saying. Don't store up treasures, just keep it because you're in fear. What does he say? You do invest, but where's the investment? He says, store up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, have you noticed you don't get to send money to heaven? It's like the guy says, well, okay, then I'm going to give to God. I'm going to take, here's 10,000 rand in cash. I'm going to throw it up. Whatever God wants, he can keep. Whatever comes back down must be mine. That's not what he's talking about. You're not sending money to heaven. What do we send to heaven? Souls. Souls. So if I'm investing in souls, means I'm investing in the facility, God's house, that is preaching the word of God, establishing churches, Bible colleges, equipping people to go out and lead others to Jesus. Even by coming to church, number one, you come to worship God. Number two, it's to do as he say, return his tithe. But for what reason? 3, to be equipped so that we can go out and get others saved. That's our investment. I said, that's our investment. Investing into souls getting saved. And then Jesus says in verse 21, for where your treasure is, where your money goes, where your finance is, there your heart will be also. I love you, Jesus. All right, show me the money. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, you know he's not interested in your money, but you know how touchy people can be about finances. Why? Because it's a heart issue. This morning I described how everything in your life is converted, your investment into a company, time, your resources, your mind, your sweat, your whatever you're putting in is converted into finances. That's why if you go to the barber, they cut your hair, you don't go, there's another hair, there's more hair gone, there's more hair. That's not a problem. You cut your nails, you can go, why, there's more nails coming. Are you with me? But let me try to take a finger. You're a little more touchy about that. So when it comes to finances, why are we so touchy? It's because we have the wrong heart towards what the purpose of it is. We've made it, it's mine. I put time in. I earned this. I made this. And so we don't just give it away to anybody. There has to be a reason for that. Even when we give a gift to someone, it's because there's a love there. If you want to know where someone's heart is, you can, it's like the wife who you need something, and she keeps asking the husband, I need this, we need this and that. No, there's no money, there's no money, there's no money. And all of a sudden, the new, you know, golf club comes out, the best top of the range, you know, new technology. Now he's got the money to buy a golf club, and he's got the new golf club. Where's his heart? I can tell you where your heart is just by checking where the finances are going. Come on. Your finances flow into the direction of what's important to you. Amen. That's my wife. That's why my wife has a name, has a card with my name on it. And all I get are the pings. She's highly blessed. Amen. But that's why, because I love her. And so our love is intense. And that is the security and the foundation of our marriage. And it's not about the finances, but I'm happy that she can get to enjoy the fruit of this marriage. And all the ladies said? Amen. Now you heard your pastor. Praise God. So, where is your heart? Because your actions reveal your heart. I said your actions reveal your heart. Remember Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Now, let's go to Haggai chapter 2. I want to show you something here. Are these things important to God? He has an interesting reading. Verse 6. Thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while. I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. Now, you notice in that particular translation, it's capitalized. Who's that talking about? This is Jesus. This is prophesying where we are told by Jesus to go make disciples of all nations. When God blessed Abraham, he said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to all nations. We are called to lead nations to Jesus. Not just people. Yes, we lead people, but the intention is to turn nations to God. And he says that there's a time when shaking will happen. How many of you noticed the shaking has begun? The world is very unsettled. And God says the purpose is they will be coming to the desired nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. And then all of a sudden, verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. And then he goes back to, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Now we know under the new covenant that you and I are now the temple. Up to when Jesus went to the cross, they were worshiping God in the temple, the hand-built temple, and the Holy Spirit dwelt behind the veil in the Shekinah glory area. His Shekinah glory was in that Holy of Holies. And the priest would go in there once a year to make atonement, to give blood, to cover all sin. And when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was torn from top to bottom, and the Holy Spirit would never be contained within a physical building location. Why? Because we, as the body of Christ, have been redeemed. Jesus paid the price for in full rose from the dead, proving you and I are forgiven. And in that forgiven state, we are made the righteousness of God. And the moment you're born again, that Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that was in that Holy of Holies, now comes to dwell in your heart. And you are now called the temple of God. Say that, I am the temple of God. And God is saying here that He will fill this temple, speaking of you and me, with glory. Verse 9, and the glory of the latter temple, that's you and me, will be greater than the glory of the first. And right in the middle there, verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. Yes, God talking about money again. Not me, I read the Bible. Come on, say amen. Now, why would He do that? Because, family of God, you must recognize that no matter what we've done, if we've created like grands and cents, that's printed by a government. That's a man-made investment. But God created the gold. I said God created the gold. You go read in Genesis when God had created Adam and showing them the earth, saying, go fill the earth and fill it and multiply and subdue and take dominion. Then He goes and He describes and takes him into a land, and it says the gold in that land was great. In other words, when God created the earth, all the gold lay on top of the earth. Isn't that interesting? You don't have to go dig for it. So why do we dig for gold then? Well, there was a flood. And in that flood, the whole earth was churned up and all the silt and everything. So when it settled, all that gold that was on top is now inside the earth. But here's the thing. God created it. In fact, when you go and read the book of Revelation, when you get to heaven, you will find that the streets are paved with gold. We use tar. Why? Because it's cheap. God uses gold. In fact, it's so pure, it's transparent. Isn't that amazing? So, there's obviously something linked here. And we've got to understand this. Because at the end of the day, if we understand who is God, what belongs to God, and we keep our hearts in the right place, then we're able to honor Him. Come have a look here in 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. You know the Word of God speaks about David being a man after God's own heart. Now, David was a mighty warrior, but he always honored God. He began his ministry, if you want to call it that, as a worshiper. He would sit in the fields worshiping God, and God chose him to be king. And he was a conquering king. He always wanted to make sure that God would have a permanent place, not just a tent that they walked around in the desert with. He wanted to build a permanent structure, a temple, for God to dwell in, for His presence to dwell in. And when it came time to build the temple, God told him that he would not be able to build the temple because he had too much blood on his hands. But He's chosen His son Solomon to build. So now if David was like the rest of the people, he would have said, oh, well, wonderful, then I'll leave it up to my son. But this David wasn't just going to say, if Solomon's going to build it, you don't get to leave me out the project. Even if I can't build it, I'm going to make sure that it's provided for. And so here we see in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 3, and you see verse 1 and 2, he talks about his son is not even ready, he's not planned for it, he's not equipped to do it, but I'm going to make sure that he's put in the right place to be able to do this. And verse 3, moreover, because I've set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared. What's he saying? He's already prepared provisions for the house. But that, you can say, is ministry. Ministry finances. But I personally am still going to be involved. Now, just to get an idea of what he has provided for, he knew he was going to build this temple, and he started laying aside treasure for that. Come and have, keep your marker here, because we're coming back. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 14, he says here, indeed, I've taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord. This isn't his own finances. This is just kingdom income. And he says he's putting aside, he's got a savings account to build the temple with. And in the savings account is 100,000 talents of gold, 1 million talents of silver and bronze and iron beyond measure, for it's so abundant. Now, I'm not going to go into all the detail for time's sake, but let's just look at the 100,000 talents. How much do you think that's worth? 100,000 talents of gold. Well, there's a website out there you may want to go and have a look at. It's called VCalc, VCALC.com, VCALC.com. You can put in any measurement in there, and they've got all the tables, and it does the calculations for you. So what they do is they say, how heavy is a talent? What is the gold spot price for today? So I checked it last night. And the spot price of gold yesterday, and for those that are listening to the message, yesterday was the 16th of March, 2024. So it can change if you're listening to this in 10 years' time. But as of 2024, 100,000 talents of gold is equivalent to, are you ready? How many million do you think it is? How many billion do you think it is? It's $235 trillion. David has saved $235 trillion. I wonder what people would think about a church with that kind of savings. What would people think? Hello? I mean, that's the economy of a country. That's like the government saying, all the taxes we have, we're going to use to build a building. One temple. Not churches all over. How many churches? What's the church doing with the money? No, we're building one building. $235 trillion. Now, how do you think $235 trillion should have done the job? How do you think you can build one building with that? Do you think that would be enough? Now, you go back to 1 Chronicles 29. Now, David's saying, this is over and above $235 trillion. He knows I got $235 trillion, not rands, dollars. You got to double it times 10 for rands. $235 trillion in the bank. You would think he would say, that should do it. He says, no. I still have to be involved. That wasn't me. We're not just about raising money here. How many know he doesn't even if you give, do you really think 10 rand is going to make a difference? 100 rand is going to make a difference? 1 million rand is going to make a difference to $235 trillion? He says, it's not about the amount. It's my heart. I have to be involved in this. And he says, I've set my affection on the house of God. I am bringing over and above the holy house my own special treasure of gold and silver. This is his personal savings. 3,000 talents of gold. How much do you think that is? How many would like to know? This is David's own savings account. 3,000 talents of gold is $7 billion. We've got $235 trillion saved, but I'm putting another $7 billion in. How many are ready to say, yes, me too? I mean, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You can say, like, I mean, it must have been hard for him to say that. That was an act of faith. I don't need anything. Yeah. He's got a $7 billion savings account. And that's what he's putting in. Family, I want you to get something here. It wasn't about what was ready. It was, that building was paid many times over. But he said, I'm still going to give. Because see, right from the beginning, even when he made that first sacrifice and he wanted that field, and Aruna was ready to sell it, to give it to him. He says, no, I must buy it because I'm not giving anything unless it costs me. See, he had a heart for God's house. He never said, God, I think that's enough money. You don't, you know, my son will get on with it. There's the saving. No, I need to be involved in this. And he goes on and he says, I'm going to give all 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses. He didn't want plaster. He puts gold on it. We got paint and curtains, and he puts gold. The gold for things of gold, the silver for things of silver. See, nothing fake there. It's not gold looking. If it's going to be gold, it's going to be gold. And for all the kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. Now listen to this. Who then? This is me. I'm doing this. Who else is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? So we've got all this money. I'm giving all of this. But I'm also giving you opportunity. Now they could have sat back and said, well, hallelujah, it's all paid. But notice what they happened here. Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of the hundreds, the officers over the king's work, all offered willingly. Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. They all offered willingly. They gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, etc., 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 etc. So another $10 billion was raised very easily. Come down to verse 10. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, listen to his prayer. Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. All that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. You reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. But who am I? This man just gave $7 billion. Some people give a big offering and they want to now make decisions for the church. He says, who am I? I've just put $7 million in the offering, but who am I? Can you see a heart here? Who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you. and of your own we've given you. We actually haven't given anything. It was yours in the first place. How can we even say we gave something? Look how much I gave. It was yours in the first place. We are aliens and pilgrims before you. As were all our fathers, our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. Now, I don't know why they translated that in the New King James, because the King James says there's none abiding. That's what the Hebrew means. I looked it up at what it's saying. The New American Standard Bible says we are tenants. In other words, we're in this earth, but we're not even staying here. We're temporary. We're tenants. I know, have you ever rented a home and you say, come to my house? It's not really yours. Try and knock a wall down and you'll find out whose house it really is. Isn't that right? No, you're a tenant. The house still belongs to someone else. Everything belongs to God. And what he's saying is, we just get temporary. Even this great man with this amount of wealth that he has still recognizes it's you. Verse 16, O Lord our God, all this abundance that we've prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand, and all is your own. I know also, my God, you test the heart, and you have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy, I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. He's saying, I did this because it's my heart, but it brings me joy to know everybody else responded with the same willingness. And he says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people, that fix their heart towards you. And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and build the temple for which I have made provision. He wasn't even going to see it built. But he said, I'm leaving a legacy. Family of God, we are doing much more than giving a donation to a church. We are leaving a legacy. We establish a movement that will preach the gospel. And should our Lord tarry and not come in our lifetime, and we go via the grave, that the word that is established, yeah, you may not see the extent to which this ministry will grow, but it will keep growing. Because when you invest, you're investing into kingdom preaching of the gospel. Can you shout an amen? Amen. That's our desire. And I've said it again and again. It has to be from a willing heart. If someone doesn't see this, and they don't understand it, and they can't figure it out, and they got all kinds of things to say, go ahead. But that's not going to move me. David said, I know my heart, and it's for your house and for your kingdom. And he used his wealth to make sure that building got built successfully. Hallelujah. Remember, God said in Psalm chapter 50, verse 10, every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Why? The world is mine and its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? What's God saying? I don't need anything from you. Offer to God thanksgiving. Pay your vows to the Most High. Call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. What's God saying? I don't need anything from you, but bring your offering. Why? You set it up so that when you do call, I can answer you. Hallelujah. Family of God, has this blessed you? You see, when you get that first priority in place, David lacked for nothing. That's why he could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Because his heart was so pure towards God. He said, "Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear evil, because you're with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so I really want to encourage us. Let it be a heart adjustment. I had to do it, go through it in my own life. You know what you need to do, and there's an obedience. But I wanted to be willing. And I know the day when it happened, Janine and I, and we were sitting listening to the message. And I said to her, "From this day on, we make this decision. We honor God because of what He's done in our lives." Hallelujah. We've never looked back. We've seen His blessing flow. And we've seen Him honor His word so many times. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Just lift your hands right now. Just worship and honor Him. He is present. And He knows exactly what we're going through. Now, with anything like this, we never want to put anybody under any condemnation. I know that the enemy, I know when we first started out in these things, we were under severe pressure financially. And we should never do whatever we do out of fear. It has to be out of a willing heart. Amen. And that's what I always want to encourage you with, is if you need to make adjustments in your life, sort this out, sort that out, trust God by faith to get it sorted out. Because it's in that willing heart that you will see His glory manifesting. Let's stand together. Say this: Father, thank You for Your living word. Thank You for the truth of this word. No matter what I've been going through, no matter what the enemy tried to bring against me, the stresses, the pressures, the strains, the difficulties, whatever the enemy tries to bring against my life, I refuse to allow fear to dictate to me. I set my heart on God. I set my heart on His kingdom, and I make a quality decision to seek first the kingdom of God. And I set aside what You've given me. Everything I have comes from You, and I honor You from that substance first. And as I honor You first, from my heart and from my lips, I thank You. The windows of heaven are indeed open, and I resist the enemy, and he flees. And as I'm submitted to You, I see Your mighty hand moving in our lives, and I receive it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. You know, from a practical perspective, what you give your heart to, what you give your mind to, what you give your actions to is what will produce in your life. Now, someone may say, "I just haven't seen God move in that area. I'm waiting for a miracle. I don't know why God hasn't moved." Then my question always going to be, I'm going to ask you, let me see, how many of you have a need that you're waiting for God to answer? Put your hand up. Okay, drop it down. Now, don't lift your hand because I don't want to put anybody under condemnation. Did you wake up this morning and before you came to this house of God, did you once again present it to the Lord and thank Him for having received it? I don't want you to answer because I'm just, it's an analytical question. It's like when you go to a doctor and he gives you medicine and you come back and say, "I'm still not better. Have you taken all the medicine?" "No." Well, that could be the problem. Are you with me? So what is faith? Faith is having heard, having believed, I speak. And when Janine and I were standing in faith to fall pregnant, every single day, without fail, sometimes 2-3 times a day, I would get out my scriptures and confess them and lay hands on my body and receive that anointing every day. First time it took years, next time it took months, next time it took weeks, next time I didn't even pray. The point I'm making is, it's that consistency. So if I'm believing God for something, I need to stand in faith and keep thanking God. Amen. And so if you're expecting God to move, seek Him. Seek His presence. Press into His presence. Father, I thank You. I'm submitted to You. I resist every enemy that's trying to stop this from happening. And I receive my miracle. Thank You. I have it. It is settled. It is mine. And I praise You for it. I give You glory. And You keep that word of faith alive in your mouth, in your heart. What will happen? Spirit of God begins to direct you. You'll make adjustments in your life. It may be a change in diet that's necessary. It may be a change of the people you hang out with. It may be a change in the business you're doing. All these things have impact on our lives. But when you're making your first movement in the day, your first action is in the direction of what I'm trusting God for. It sets that day in motion. And you're listening for the Spirit of God, and He can make the adjustments that you need to make. Amen. Can you see that? Hallelujah. See, that's where people sometimes misunderstand faith. Faith is not me making something up and then throwing it out there like God has to now do it. No, I'm taking His word as He said it. But it stands to reason, if I do things contrary to that, I'm going to break what He's trying to do in my life. So it's making the whole adjustment in what you speak, how you act, what you do. And God says, to set that motion in place are certain things that are first. Put that first in place and the rest will be added. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Father, I release Your anointing into each and every person. You heard their prayer. And I believe today those miracles are already on their way. Whatever the enemies try to do to stop it, we bind in the name of Jesus, resisting that enemy, and it's fled. Cancel every evil assignment in Jesus' name. And we call the blessing to come to pass. And as we align our lives and align our words, align our prayer life and our hearts towards You, we set You as first. Your kingdom as first. And in doing that, You bring to pass all that You said to do. We give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Can you give Him glory for His word? Hallelujah, hallelujah.